Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most vital segment of our society. To those of you like me who know that there's something troubling, even destructive, about the institutions which control our society, our nations, and the world, whether they be religious or political, military or media, even economic. We realize that these massive and maniacal contrivances are the problem. They are not the solution. So instead of articulating a way to rearrange the color of the deck chairs on our sinking Titanic of state, our mission is to scour the news, looking behind the headlines, so that we come to know who is causing the tragedies that are besieging our planet and understand why they are doing so, all while predicting how their ill-advised and inappropriate plans will influence our world. Then in our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through evidence and reason, since His guidance regarding His covenant provides the only glimmer of hope. Our phone number over the next 2 hours, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, is 877-300-7645. Before we return to our current subject, which is the myth of global warming, I'd like to share an email exchange that I had with a longtime listener regarding something that we commented on briefly yesterday. He wrote, Yada, you talked about how your recent drive across the country, that there were constant and visible signs of change. These school shootings, sadly, are becoming so commonplace. I stubbed at a elementary school yesterday and know that by doing so, I became vulnerable. I've even priced out bulletproof vests, one made for business executives that looks like a vest that you'd wear with an ordinary suit at $1,000. It was a little more than I can afford. But protection now is necessary even from the nice kids who are now becoming psychopaths. It is tragic. My response to him is something that I've shared on this program, which is that as a nation and, indeed, humankind around the world, through religion, politics, our schools, pharmaceuticals, and entertainment contrivances, we are manufacturing monsters. There's a reason that there is an uptick in deadly assaults in schools. The schools are producing these monsters. They are now amoral. It's a direct result of political correctness. There is no judgment, no sense of right and wrong, no ability to be discerning. So whether it is religious murder, politically inspired murder, academic immorality, the drugs that so often permeate the minds of those who commit these acts, it's the most common universal thread between mass murderers, is that they have taken or have just stopped taking mind-altering drugs, typically legal pharmaceuticals prescribed by psychiatrists, and the kind of entertainment contrivances that celebrate killing. We are literally manufacturing monsters. To which my friend wrote, and now even in the aftermath, the reports from the media seem to be scripted. They focus and celebrate on the hero who destroys the monster, even though sadly in this case he lost his own life, instead of looking for clues as to why so many keep appearing in and around schools, no less. There is no culpability, only heroism. There is no search for answers. With that email reviewed, let's turn back to our review of man-made global warming, the theory. You see, this is important because the world is being collectivized. It is being controlled. Your life is being controlled, whether you know it or not. It is indeed being impoverished, you are being fleeced, and you ultimately may be enslaved through a combination of four schemes. We've talked about three of them at great length on this program. The first is through central banking and currency manipulation. The second is through disarming individuals while developing massive military and police states. The third is by the erosion of freedoms due to prosecuting the mythical global war on terrorism. And the fourth is by the control mechanisms associated with the myth of global warming. Since any one of these is individually capable of producing global autonomy, and since I've previously devoted countless programs to dispelling the issues associated with currency manipulation, national debt, and the sorry state of our economy, the issues associated with gun control and the establishments of massive militaries, and the consequence of this mythological war on a tactic called terrorism. Today we will continue with our ongoing series to completely debunk the myth of anthropogenic global warming. Anthropogenic is from a combination of three Greek words, anthro meaning man, pro meaning associated with or from, and genic meaning the genesis or creation of something. So man created global warming. It is wholly and completely untrue. This morning we have Larry joining us from Florida. And Larry, you don't very often get me advancing conspiracy theories, but today, tomorrow, and probably into the near future, as I debunk this conspiracy of global warming, I'm going to play right into your hands.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a conspiracy. It's not a theory. It's a fact. I mean, they'll line up 300 or 400 people in white clothes, and what they are, bureaucrats from the UN, and there might be two people that make their living in that business, and they call them scientists, and they'll say, scientists from the UN, you know, but climate change is a laughable industry. You know, these are the very people that advance the idea that the globe is getting warmer when, in fact, it's getting cooler. And it's almost a religion with these people.
Yeah.
And really what they have in mind is the protection of their own industry, your tax money, and more government control. And that's what it's really about.
Worldwide control.
It's not a conspiracy when people find a way to fleece the masses and they do it. It's just a fact.
Correct. Yeah, it is. It is now a fact. And we're going to talk about the scientific proof that if there is a current warming period, which there isn't, because for the last 15 years the Earth has actually cooled. But even if there was a warming period prior to that, we're going to demonstrate that it has nothing to do with human activity. Prove absolutely emphatically, without any question, that it has nothing to do with human activity, and that in the last 1,000 years there have been long periods of global warming and long periods of global cooling, having nothing to do with the burning of fossil fuels, completely destroying the anthropogenic global warming myth. But I do have a solution for the current period of global cooling. And for the last 2 years, we've been in a decided cooling period. For the last 15 years, no change. Last 2 years, global cooling. What we found is that the ice packs, for example, in the Arctic, have increased by 60%. There is a solution.
As the globe gets warmer.
But there is a solution for all of that. I mean, beyond going out and buying the largest car you can and burning fossil fuels, there is a solution to that, and it is that we could simultaneously solve two problems. We could eliminate the nuclear arsenal on planet Earth and solve the problem of global cooling all in one fell swoop. That is to send all of our nuclear bombs to the planet Jupiter. And if we were to ignite them on the planet Jupiter, we would turn the planet from a planet into a small star. And then we would be, we'd get the rotisserie effect. We'd get a little sun on one side, a big sun on the other. And wouldn't it be lovely? That's my solution to global cooling. Well, we're going to spend some time here. At the end of the program yesterday, I was reviewing the documentation that had been revealed from the international consortium. They call themselves the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel.
They're a UN group, yeah, the IPCC.
Yeah, they call themselves the actual acronym IPCC, which is a UN-sponsored group, is an Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Mm-hmm. Now, they had their website hacked a few years back to create what was called Climate Gate. And when their website was hacked, a number of things were found, one of which was that there was a specific edict among the leaders of the IPCC to destroy all evidence that was contrary to their theory, as well as to extrapolate inappropriately on evidence that was conducive to their theory. And there were also a number of email exchanges, and we were in the midst of some of the email exchanges yesterday, that just showed the mindset of these people. So I want to return to that. And since
I have one quick question before you start there. Got it.
Yeah.
Let's assume that CO2 wasn't beneficial to the planet and, you know, to plant life
right.
and things like that.
Right.
This is the assumption we have to make. But let's assume they're telling you the truth. Can you
right.
ask me why they would then move all major industry over to China or down to Mexico where there are no regulations on such on industry and things? You know, you walk through China and, you know, you got to wear a gas mask. They don't even scrub. You know, they don't have scrubbers in their smokestacks. So
the reason they don't want to deal with China because they know that there's no way to get China to redistribute money, and the purpose of the Kyoto Accords is to redistribute money. It's the same thing as the tax system and the entitlements in America. You take money from those who are productive and you give it to those who are unproductive, and that's what they want to do with the Kyoto Accords, and it's why they're not going after China, but they are going after the United States. We'll return with the leaked email documents from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and then a comprehensive review of the proof that there have been global warming periods and cooling periods within the last 1,000 years that had nothing to do with the burning of fossil fuels. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. We're talking about the myth of man-made global warming. And before I turn to the next exchange that was revealed by a hacker to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, we have Glenn calling in from Philadelphia that wants to make a comment or has a question on global warming. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yes, good morning. Just a brief etymological correction. The word anthropogenic derives from only two words, the Greek anthropos, which means man, and genic, which bespeaks beginnings or origins, as in Genesis or Genae, family or race. So it's only a two-word derivative. There is no letter R in anthropogenic.
Okay.
All righty, then.
What's your point?
Well, you mistakenly said it was comprised of two words.
Okay, so that was okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Glenn. All right. Returning to what was presented in terms of the investigation, the hacking of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Control, what we learn is that they were focused on precluding research of any dissenting scientists from the peer review process. So while dismissing their findings, so here they say, if you have a dissenting view, if your research shows that our man-made climate change theory is invalid, we're not going to allow your research to be published. Then they would say, because your research has not been published in a peer-reviewed publication, it is not credible or valid. Now, Here's a comment now from them in an email exchange. It says, this was the danger of always criticizing the skeptics for not publishing in the peer-reviewed literature. Obviously, they found a solution to that. Take over a journal. So what do we do about this? I think we have to stop considering Climate Research, which is one of the journals, as a legitimate peer-reviewed journal. Perhaps we should encourage our colleagues in the climate research community to no longer submit to or cite papers in this journal. We would also need to consider what we tell or request of our more reasonable colleagues who currently sit on the editorial board. What do others think? End of quote. End of email. So here they're admitting that their strategy was to dismiss, to criticize skeptics of global warming by saying your research has not been published because they precluded it being published, and that they found a journal that was willing to present both sides, as scientific journals should do. And so what they decided to do is now to attack that journal, to discredit the journal.
Yeah, that's always a good idea. You know, I gotta love it when the UN and the international community and the Club of Rome come up with a plan, because, boy, they know how to implement it, working with their media actors. Well, since they own most of the media. They can tell anybody anything, can't they?
Here's a second email on the same subject. It says, I will be emailing the journal, this would be of Climate Research, to tell them that I'll have nothing more to do with them until they rid themselves of this troublesome editor, this editor who was allowing credible research on both sides of the issue. The responsible one for this is well known. He's a skeptic in New Zealand. He has led a few papers through by Michaels and Gray in the past. Michaels and Gray are the most noteworthy scientific critics of the man-made global warming theory. Therefore, these quote-unquote scientists refuse to publish any research which was contrary to the myth of man-made global warming. Then they dismissed all such research because it was unpublished. No matter how relevant or how documented it was, simply because it had not been published when they themselves had precluded it being published.
Well, you know, so the IPCC is essentially operating a predetermined conclusion there, don't you think? I mean,
So when one of the scientific periodicals on climate change decided that the research should be published based upon its merits, not its conclusions, those with an agenda sought to ostracize and exclude the accredited periodical for their crime, which was to make information available which was contrary to what was considered academically acceptable. If you were to conduct research, by the way, proving that macroevolution is invalid, which the Cambrian period in and of itself demonstrates, you would endure the same treatment. The scientific community has become like the religious community. They have a faith to promote, and they won't tolerate a heretic. We'll be back to Shattering Myths after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We still have Larry on the line. We're considering the whole approach to global warming and the fact that scientists literally refused to publish the research of any scientist whose conclusions are contrary to the myth of man-made global warming, and then they dismiss all such unpublished research, no matter how relevant or well-documented, simply because they did not allow it to be published. So when one of the scientific periodicals, therefore, on climate change decided, you know, we're just going to, if the quality of the research is sound, we're going to publish it regardless of what the conclusions are, because people ought to know. They ostracized, discredited, disassociated with that periodical.
Yeah, at the same time, the mainstream mass media advances this hysteria.
And so do our politicians.
Well, the political actors come up and they just say it like it's a point of fact. It has to be dealt with.
Oh, of course. In fact, as we move through this, I will actually get the most recent comments by members of this administration, the Obama administration, saying that based upon the report from the IPCC here recently in Sweden, that it is a fact and that we have to deal with it, and we need to change the way we conduct business. It's all to control people, all to fleece people, all to devalue the quality of our lives. Now, what's interesting here is that the scientific response in the area of climate change is now identical to the way that the Roman Catholic Church responded to criticism. It's the same way that Islam responds to criticism. It's the same way that communists act to control what people can read and see. Identical. So here's political and religious organ institutions that have had a history of responding the same way as the scientific community is now. And yet, the advocacy for man-made global warming is a complete myth. And as you say, it's a myth proclaimed by the world's, and particularly America's politicians, by the national media, and throughout academia. It's become a central plank in the socialist secular humanist agenda. It has become a part of America's and Europe's national religion, one designed to deceive, to deprive, to fleece, and to control. You need to care about this because it is a central edict in the most popular religion in the world, socialist secular humanism, the national religion of America, the religion of the media, of politics, and of academia. Now, there was a time, Larry, when only religious and political leaders deliberately lied to serve their selfish interests. And while they still do, they are no longer alone. Today, the scientific community, having consumed the poison of socialist secular humanism throughout the educational process, have joined them. And for the same reason.
You know, there's a project called the Petition Project, and over 31,000 scientists have signed on stating there's no, convincing scientific evidence that humans cause global warming. 31,000.
Yeah, in fact we're going to review the scientific evidence demonstrating that even if the Earth warmed modestly from 1900 through the late 20th century, even if that occurred, and we don't really know if it occurred, even if it occurred, that it had nothing to do with man.
Can I ask you one thing?
Sure.
You're a pretty good historian. Didn't Leif Erikson row over to Canada on what's now the permanent ice pack? Didn't he row over there? That's what I thought.
What we're going to examine here in just a moment, we're going to begin with the medieval warming period, and then we're going to turn to the Little Ice Age. And we're going to specifically go through proven periods of time which demonstrate that climate change, warming and cooling, is part of the natural phenomenon of our planet and has nothing to do with human activity. Well, if there was a prolonged period during the past 1,000 years when global temperatures can be shown to have been as high or higher than they are now, then even if temperatures are rising, it is not the result of the Industrial Age. Now, think of the logic there. If it can be proven that during a period of over the last 1,000 years that global temperatures can be shown to have been as high or higher than they are now, then even if temperatures are rising now, which is questionable, it is not the result of the Industrial Age and of the burning of fossil fuels, but instead part of the natural phenomenon influencing the planet. And similarly, if there was a prolonged period of global cooling during the past 1,000 years, especially one following a period of global warming, then the current trend, if indeed one exists, must be attributed to the natural environmental cycles and not to a change in human activity. But, my friend, both can be proven and both have existed. So even if there has been a period of a fraction of a degree of warming from the early 1900s to the late 1990s, from which a cooling period began, but even if there was a fraction of a degree of warming from the early 1900s to the late 1900s, it would not be an anomaly that can be appropriately attributed to mankind's recent tendency to burn fossil fuels. And therefore, all of the regulations, all of the taxations, all of the constraints placed upon energy production, they're ill-advised, they're inappropriate, and they are indeed counterproductive. And even if we hadn't experienced global cooling over the past 15 years, evidence of the medieval warming period and the Little Ice Age would individually discredit and collectively destroy the myth of anthropogenic global warming. Now, should you care about the truth? And Larry, I know you do in this case.
I do in most cases.
Yes. Not really. Yeah, in most cases. In most cases, yeah. We've both of us have come out of lies. Both of us were Christians, no longer are. Both of us were engaged in Republican politics, deeply engaged, no longer are. And we left both of those associations because the truth was in conflict with each of them. So here's the truth. There was a prolonged period of global warming during the Middle Ages, or the medieval period. Now, while the Middle Age or medieval period is marked from the fall of Rome in 476 CE to the Renaissance in the 14th century, and the Dark Ages chronicles the period from the fall of Rome to 800 CE, when there was no Holy Roman Emperor in Europe, this medieval climate optimum, or medieval climatic anomaly, as it is called by those who are opposed to the more accurate and the original title, the medieval warming period, it began in 950 CE, and it ended abruptly in 1250 CE. It lasted for 300 years. The warmest period of that time was between 950 and 1100 CE. Now, we're going to examine the evidence for it. While the evidence is uncalibrated with respect to thermometers, proof is both ubiquitous and undeniable. And because it is contrary to the AGW, the anthropogenic, progenic, global warming theory, to eliminate the consequence of this inconvenient truth, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has said that global temperatures during this period were no higher than the late 20th century. And even if that were true, Larry, and it's not, by the way, they were higher then than they are now, then the current rise, should one actually exist, back up to the same level as experienced 900 years ago. So if even if there really was a rise, and there wasn't, and even if we just got back up to the levels experienced 900 years ago, when in fact we are still below them, what it means is that humanity's recent tendency to burn fossil fuels isn't the reason. Because we weren't burning fossil fuels in cars and jet airplanes and in industrialized factories 900 years ago, when the Earth was warmer than it is today. The reality of the medieval warming period was first discovered by a fellow named Hubert Lamb. He was a paleoclimatologist in the 1960s. He discovered his theory from botany research and corresponding meteorological influences. He discovered not only the medieval warming period from 1000 to 1100 CE and documented it, but he also discovered the Little Ice Age between, well, there were several. He discovered the one between 1500 and 1700. In other words, this scientist, Hubert Lam, completely destroyed the anthropogenic global warming myth being promoted today before the myth was even conceived. That's like Yahweh destroying the myth of a Christian New Testament before the New Testament was written. Climate change is as it has always been. Man has not altered the Earth's climate. The warm period became known as the medieval warming period, and the cold period was called the Little Ice Age. However, and I'm going to read now on and off from Wikipedia, because I think their assessment of the IPCC's dismissal of these two events is indeed telling. So we're right after the commercial break going to come back to some text found at Wikipedia to expose the malfeasance of the intergovernmental group monitoring climate change. We'll be back in a second. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. This will be the last segment today, where we'll be considering the proof against the theory of man-made global warming. We're beginning our review of the medieval warming period. Turning to Wikipedia, as they present the warm period, known as the medieval warming period, and the cold period, known today as the Little Ice Age, the next line in Wikipedia is designed to question the validity of these periods, even though we will, in future programs, dissect the evidence for them. And said, however, this view was questioned by other researchers. The IPCC's first assessment report of 1990 discussed the medieval warm period around 1000 AD, which may not have been global, they say, and the Little Ice Age, which ended only in the middle of the late 19th century. The IPCC's third assessment report from 2001 summarized research at the time saying, quote, current evidence does not support globally synchronous periods for anomalies cold or warm over this time frame. And the conventional terms of Little Ice Age and medieval warm period appear to have limited utility in describing trends in hemispheric or global mean temperature change in past centuries, end quote.
Wow, that's how they get people not to read their material.
In other words,
I don't know.
Very clear. What they said is, neither the Little Ice Age nor the medieval warm period were global. They said neither one were global. Neither one can be demonstrated as being valid. Neither one should be considered when talking about the current man-made global warming phenomenon. That's what they said. Now, what we're going to find is that the evidence is exactly the opposite of what these scientists have professed. And matter of fact, even in Wikipedia, as you move into the next paragraph, they demonstrate that what they have concluded and written in their report is untrue. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change lied to dismiss both the Little Ice Age and the medieval warm period because individually and collectively, these realities destroy the myth of man-made global warming. Now, so they said that, A, that the current evidence does not support globally synchronous periods of anomalous cold and warmth over this time frame. Now, what we're going to find is that the warm period can be proven throughout the planet. Proven conclusively, no matter what area of the planet you're looking at. It was synchronized across the globe as a warm period during the same period of time 900 years ago. And we're going to demonstrate that the Little Ice Age was also global, and the timing was synchronized with the cool period across the entire planet. So what they're trying to say is that because the truth is contrary to their theory, you ought not consider that it has only limited utility. You ought not consider describing trends currently in the global mean temperature changes by referring to past centuries. You ought to look at global warming only in the last 100 years. And, oh, by the way, you need to subtract the first 40 of those years and the last 15 because they don't fit within our theory. So you can only look at 1951 through 1997 and look no further. Because if you look before that or you look after that, our theory falls apart.
Well,
that's
what they're saying. The stupidity of this. And by the way, I don't call oil fossil fuel anymore. That was made up.
Really
they invented that in a meeting in 1892 over in Geneva. And I think it was J.P. Morgan or one of his people said, you know, it's a fossil fuel because they had to act like it was this rare liquid that could run out any time. It's like trying to put a price on a gallon of water, you know.
Yeah, that's another myth to dispel for another time as to how oil is actually a renewable resource and that it is not all made by decaying plant life and animal life in past millennia. We'll return to Shattering Myths after the news and commercial break. Please stay with us.